It's Morning Edition on WNYC. I'm Michael Hill. With deaths and violent incidents continuing to escalate on Rikers Island this year, reform advocates and many elected officials have called on the mayor and the governor to reduce the city's jail population. It's grown to nearly 6,000 detainees after reaching a historic low last year. Now, a new story from Gothamist and WNYC, in collaboration with New York Focus, looks into who really controls the number of people who go in and out of Rikers Island. Akash Mehta of New York Focus and George Joseph of WNYC's Race and Justice Unit join us to discuss. Welcome to you both.
Good morning.
Hi, Michael.
Hi there. So, Akash, let's look at the numbers here. As we've reported, Governor Kathy Hochul has ordered the release of about 200 Rikers Island detainees held on technical parole violations we've heard so much about. Advocates have called on Mayor de Blasio to use his power to grant work releases as a way to reduce numbers on the island. But your reporting found this would only make a small dent in the population at Rikers. Why is that?
Right. So 4 out of 5 of the people at Rikers are there waiting for their trials, and neither the governor nor the mayor decide on their detention. Judges do. And what our reporting found is that judges are increasingly setting unaffordable bail. Most people can't pay the bail that judges set, and so they usually go to jail for months because they can't pay. And, you know, when we talk about the deaths at Rikers and the lack of medical care and the violence and the overcrowding, it's important to point out that judges are the people driving the population there.
Why are people being held on unaffordable bails? Weren't New York's bail reforms supposed to end that kind of behavior?
Sure. So in 2019, New York did pass landmark legislation that, you know, required judges to release the large majority of defendants. Now, judges are still allowed to set bail on defendants who face certain charges, mostly violent felonies, but only if they pose a risk of intentionally skipping trial. 9 out of 10 people facing violent felony charges make every court date, and the city's release algorithm recommends releasing about 75% of them without conditions. But judges release just 27%. And what that shows is that, by and large, judges are not following the law.
So judges are setting high bails even for people who are almost certainly going to come to court. George, what do law enforcement figures say about this? How can judges just be ignoring the law?
Well, Michael, there's the law and there's the reality of what happens every day in courtrooms. And New York is a very unique place in this sort of debate because, unlike in the rest of the country, judges aren't officially allowed to consider dangerousness when they're making these pretrial decisions about who's going to get a high bail, who's going to get out, etc. So we spoke to Charles Linehan, a former Manhattan prosecutor, and he argued, you know, in reality, judges end up playing this game where they say they're setting bail because someone's a flight risk, someone's going to skip out on court. But in reality, they're doing it because they have a public safety concern. So he gave me an example of a case where, let's say, a judge has a defendant who is accused of a violent knife point robbery. He's deciding whether he's going to set bail for that man. Statistically speaking, that defendant is not likely to try to flee court or run away out of the country. But the judge has other concerns. So basically, he sets high bail anyway.
And he's thinking, well, he used a knife here. What if he goes out and does something horrible to somebody? And the New York Post is shouting how, you know, Judge so-and-so let this guy out on no bail.
So, George, how have court officials responded to your reporting?
Well, of course, when we reached out to the court officials, they noted that every case and defendant background is specific and that basically, judges are going to be calling balls and strikes when it comes to bail decisions. However, when you look at the data that those same court officials put out, it shows considerable variation in the pretrial decisions between judges, even when you're looking within the same courthouse. So individual judges, clearly the data shows, are making highly discretionary decisions based on their own sort of individual perceptions of how the bail reform law should be followed. And how they're doing that individually, using their discretion, is determining how many people are going to Rikers Island today. Because clearly the data shows they're not just holding people, detaining them for a flight risk. They're detaining them in some cases, many cases, because of a sense of public safety concern. And that noncompliance with the bail reform law is a big part of what's fueling the jail population. And just to put that in perspective, a recent study found that if judges had followed the city's recommendations by algorithm for who should be released based on their danger of not appearing in court, if they actually followed that, the jail population would be about 1,000 people less than it currently is, which is a way bigger reduction than anything on the table right now.
I wonder if there's a court administrator at the state level who's paying attention to this. George, you reported the story of one person that offers some insight into why following the law can be hard from the judge's perspective.
Yeah, and I want to make clear that research has found that even for violent felony defendants, people who are accused of such felonies but haven't been found guilty yet, the research has found even overwhelmingly they are not rearrested pre-trial if they are released. But we did report on a case of sort of a domestic violence allegation case that was pretty brutal, and in which sort of sources we talked to could understand why a judge would set bail even for someone who appeared to pose no or to little flight risk. So this was the case of a man named Segunda Gualpa. He was a Queens resident whose wife had accused him of a fairly violent domestic violence incident. And domestic violence is something that judges often worry, understandably, sort of if they release the person could lead to further violence. In this case, Mr. Gualpa's wife wanted him to get alcohol rehabilitation treatment because he had struggled with addiction for many years, and separation in some facility far away from, you know, where their family lived. But they were a working class family. They couldn't afford to sort of pay for private rehabilitation far away themselves. And that wasn't an option the courts were going to give them. So in that case, the judge ended up setting a bail that the family says this man couldn't afford. Unfortunately, 11 days after that bail hearing, the arraignment, the man ended up taking his own life. And now his wife, Luz Gualman, says he regrets ever participating in the criminal justice system. This is a person that says really bad violence happened to her. She did not think that her husband was innocent of anything, but she didn't want things to end up this way. And she felt like she had this really unfair choice because, you know, she wanted safety, but she also wanted her husband to get help. And that's not what happened here. Had he been wealthy, he could have posted bail and gotten out, maybe gotten treatment, but definitely been alive. Right. So that's where we are.
Wow, what a tragedy there. Well, Akash and George, let's hope that your reporting has some impact on the criminal justice system and people are paying attention and then make some reforms. Thank you for your great reporting.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks so much, Michael.